Kelly, nice to meet you.
Give me 2 seconds.
Sure.
I just have to turn the dryer on. Hold on.
Take your time.
Sorry. My dog Stu woke me up on Monday morning, welcome to the week, by puking on me in bed. So I had to wash my sheets.
Awesome.
So they're finally in the dryer now. I'll get distracted.
It's okay. Just let me know when.
And I'd rather go for you anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm ready.
Oh, okay, cool. Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the one and only Kelly Osborne, who's out with a new memoir.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Kelly. We're here talking about her new memoir, I Just Threw Sheets in the Dryer. I think that's what it's called, right? Because your dog...
No, don't do anybody that!
I'm just kidding.
It's book is called There Is No Effing Secret. He's making fun of me because before we started this interview, I told him how I needed an extra like 10 seconds because I had to put my sheets in the dryer because my dog pooped on me in bed. So,
oh, yeah. That's hilarious. No, all right. So, let's dive into the book. Why'd you want to write it? I mean, I feel like every time people do these interviews, the first question they always get is, so what's the secret to success? So I love that. Are you riffing on that in the title?
There is not one. There is not one. There is no secret. You have to be a good person. You have to, you know, want good things in your life and work hard for them. And when you make a mistake, get up and try again. Like, it's not rocket science. And for me, why I also named it that is because my whole life in the public eye, people have told me who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I fed into that perception. And I allowed people to think that I was a person that I'm not. And it made me so unhappy. And I hated who I was. I spent so much time learning to just at least be content with myself. And then I started to get frustrated that people thought I was someone I'm not. But then I also realized how ridiculously selfish that is of me and stupid if I'm not going to tell them who I am.
Right.
So there is no holes. It is 100%. Me, and then they can decide, you know, make up their mind what they think of me. And if they don't like me, that's fine. If they do, that's great. You know, my strongest message in the book is that you can get through anything with love. And there is a lot of really, really heavy topics that we talk about in the book, where, you know, from my mom's cancer and my dad's accident and my drug problems and from the past, rehab, Lyme's disease, but then there's also a chapter about my vagina. You know, so a letter, I should say. I wrote it in a way that I want you to laugh along with me and cry along with me at my crazy life and make you realize that you're not alone. Other people are going through these things too.
That's awesome. You mentioned some of those heavier topics. Which one was the hardest to write? And which one was the most fun to write too on the other side of that?
I think you know which one was the most fun to write. The chapter about dear vagina. I just couldn't get past dear vagina because I couldn't stop laughing.
You don't even need to write the rest of the chapter.
I think dear mouth is a very important chapter in that book.
Mm-hmm.
But the hardest was my dad's accident, my mom's cancer.
Can you even go back and read those, or just put pen to paper?
Nope.
And then, oh wow,
I just did my audiobook. I finished it. I cry on my audiobook.
Oh man,
I'm like, oh jeez.
When
it's
we
supposed to be tough.
When we listen to the audiobook, we feel that the tears come out of the speakers. It's crazy. You mentioned that it's dear vagina, dear bullying, dear dating. I love that the format's sort of like letters. How'd you come up with that idea?
There was a number of reasons. Number one, there was a time in my life, there has been times in my life, where I could only write letters to people to communicate with them because I was in a, you know, vacation without a bar, and otherwise known as rehab. Or that wonderful mental institution that my mom put me in, which worked because it scared me to death.
Right.
And then I read a book by one of my favorite comedians in England, Dawn French, and she did her book in letters. And when we started out by bullet pointing all the different topics that we wanted to hit and, you know, where we wanted to go and how we could, you know, condense it and into a concise and an easy read. Then the letters, I was like, this is what we should do. We should do letters. This will make this so much easier. We can actually tackle singular topics head on rather than it being all over the place. And I get to do the thing that I've always wanted, where you don't have to pick up the book and read from page one till the end.
Right.
You can pick it up and put it down and start from anywhere.
Exactly. It makes total sense in, you know, dear mom, dear dad, dear brother, all that. In your chapter about your mom, Sharon, you call her the baddest bitch you know. I mean, it's true. We've seen her on Celebrity Apprentice. She can do anything. How cool is it to pen that chapter, you know, daughter to mother, and be like, you really are a rock star?
Look, it's not just that. It's that I'm now of an age where I have friends who have kids who are teenagers now.
Right.
And I have a whole newfound respect for my mom seeing what I must have put her through.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand that she was right about everything. Everything.
They always are.
That's not. And I just had to give her the credit and tell her that and tell her how much I love her and how much I know all she has. You know, there is this misconception about my mom that my mom's life is just my dad and then rebuilding his career and doing, you know, the love story of Sharon and Ozzy.
Right, right.
But really, what my mom wants and loves more than anything is her kids. And she did everything she could on this planet to make sure that we had a better life than she did when she started.
And you gotta love her
and
for
that's why my mission in life is to make sure that I can make enough money so that she never has to work again and that I can look after her.
That's awesome.
And my dad.
That's awesome. What?
My dad is still doing 2.5-hour shows, but that's because he loves it. And I don't know anybody, I mean, the Rolling Stones are older than him, but that play and is as vibrant. I mean, you know, I don't even think young, like, pop singers could do what he does.
Yeah, you mentioned in the book, you said, what do you say? You say, no matter what mistakes you made, Dad, there's no way I can have anything but respect for the fact that you're at 70 years old still selling out 70,000 arenas, and I think you challenge any 19-year-old today to be able to do the same thing, and I don't think they could. Your dad's superhuman.
Nope.
when did you...
He is superhuman. I love him so much. I've only not seen him for 2 days, and I'm like, Dad, I miss you.
Well, when did, like, growing up, it's got to be insane having, like, a rock god like that as a dad. I mean, when did you, like, at what age do you discover Black Sabbath music? Or is it on in the house, or do you have to...
I was born, and then 3 months later, I was on tour, because you had to be 3 months old to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no discovering Black Sabbath or rock and roll music. That was my life. I didn't know any differently. It was when I started going to school that I realized that we were a little bit different.
You were along for the ride.
And, you know, in England, we were not allowed to swear. We were not, I mean, I wasn't even allowed to say fart.
Yeah.
I weren't allowed to swear, nothing. My mom, this is how much my mom protected us. She had three dresses, these three Laura Ashley floral dresses, that when she took us to school and picked us up, she would put one of the three dresses on so that the mothers at the school couldn't pick on us for something else. My mom threw herself in front of a bus for us every single day while running an entire empire.
That's awesome.
She's the baddest. Like, I'm telling you, there is no one, there is not one businesswoman in the music industry who does what my mom does.
What's...
and in the history of time has ever done it better.
What's something, if our listeners are hearing this and they're thinking about picking up the book, what's something we'll learn about your dad, about the Ozzy Osbourne that they don't know? I mean, because we all have an idea of him in our mind, you know. He's sort of this pop culture figure in one certain way, but, you know, what's something they're going to get, you know, maybe a little more personal about him?
My father is one of the smartest men you will ever meet in your life. He knows everything. He remembers everything. He loves to be naughty. I have that in me, too. I will always have that little anarchist inside of you that makes you mischievous. But it's also part of what makes him so charming. But when he pulls stuff like when I've had a secret conversation in the other room and he'll repeat it to me 6 months later verbatim, I didn't even know he could hear me. I'm like, how did you even remember that?
Where do you store this in your brain? You know, it's like, how did you come up with that?
He's a I'm telling you, my dad is very smart.
That's awesome.
And if you've noticed, my father has never, ever, ever, except for once when he defended me, had a public feud with anybody.
True.
He won't. Whereas, like, any of us, if anyone says anything about my dad, me, my mom, my brother, my sister, we're all like,
right.
But he that's how smart he is. He knows if I give them the time of day, all I'm doing is feeding the animals, and I don't want to do that.
Right, exactly.
Because I eat them, is what he says.
What does he say?
Because I eat them.
Yeah, well, are you talking about the bat on stage?
Oh, the bat, the chicken, the doves.
Whatever animal crosses his path. Oh, that's great.
I couldn't imagine anything. He spent his life with Rocky, his dog, who, when my dad leaves the house, sits by the door waiting for him until he gets back and will not move. My dad's been going out of town filming the second season of the History Channel show with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocky literally has sat by the back door the entire time.
Oh, that's sweet.
Like, they do everything. It's really sweet. And he works out 2.5 hours a day. He's still healthy and really, really funny. Loves a good joke.
Amazing, amazing guy, man. What a life. I mean, I got to ask you
But hey, I tell you something else that's really annoying right now.
What?
With everything that went on, you know, I'm sure everybody's read about it. I don't want to talk about it. But my parents have fallen back in love again in a whole new way, where I don't think they've ever been so in love.
Wow.
And I can't stand the making out. It's so gross.
Oh, very public?
not as public. Like, we're just watching TV, or watching telly on the couch, and sat on the couch, and all I can hear on one side of my head is, like, the slapping of the kisses. I'm like, no! Suck!
Oh, let them do their thing.
I get every single time. How do you think you were made? I'm like, immaculate conception.
Get a room, mom and dad. That's funny. I gotta ask you about the Osbournes. I mean, it wasn't the first reality show, but it was early on.
No, we were the first. That is one thing where I'm like, sorry, no. If I had to take all of it, all the crap for it, I'm gonna tell you right now. Yes, we were the first, and we were the only ones who did it the way we did it. In the sense, we had camera. I watch these, my friends who are in different reality shows, they'll film a season in less than 6 weeks. Sometimes it's 3 weeks. It took us over 6 months to film a season.
Wow.
Because you have to follow and see how you can edit it into a 27-minute episode to create a story. It was exactly how it happened.
That's great. Because some people...
You know, the only rooms that didn't have cameras in were the bathrooms.
So that was the real deal there. That wasn't like putting on for the cameras. That was your guys growing up.
They call it, if they do it the way that they, if we did it the way they do it now, we'd probably still be doing it.
Right, right.
Because you have a lot more control over it. But no, yeah, we got to a point where, like, you know, let's end on a high. People know who we are now. This isn't what we want to do forever. My mom's finally well again, just cancer free. My dad's got his stuff to do. I was touring. And we were just like, it's a nice time to stop. And now we have more offers than ever to do it again, and we're sat here thinking, do we or do we not?
right.
Hey, Jason, we got to run.
All right, cool. Kelly, thanks so much. We look forward to our listeners reading the book. Again, it's called There Is No Effing Secret. Again, Kelly Osbourne on WTOP.
I swear to you, I'm so nervous about this.
What?
Because it is so honest.
Oh, well,
this is my life, and most people are going to think I'm bloody nuts, but that's okay.
No, it's admirable, the honesty. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
And you. It was lovely speaking with you. Have a great day.
All right, get back to the laundry.
I'm going to.
Bye.